Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tips for Living. This is the common sense stuff that you think you need to make sure every kid knows. By the time they're 18, there's certain things every kid ought to know before they leave home. You know, I mean, I've been a parent of six kids, and I did it the good way and the bad way. And when you realize, hey, did I not teach you how to change a light bulb? Or, you know, if a breaker kicks, do you know how to turn the breaker back on? Do you know how to shut the power off in case you're going to do something with the electrical system of your house? Just common sense stuff. And so I thought, you know, we really could just put this on a list. And so this comes from things that we just learned. I came from a big family. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters, and so does my father-in-law. So we grew up in a big family, and we had people you could call. Hey, Frank, you ever had problems with the septic tank? I got a problem with my septic tank. My transmission's leaking. Can you know anything about that? So we'd always have somebody that knew about automotive stuff, about home building stuff. So we had our own built-in library. We knew how to talk to people. Well, today, most people don't live next to their family. They live halfway across the country and don't live within three states of their brothers or sisters or parents. And so you're living next to a stranger in a town trying to, hopefully you got a good job and doing something, but you still like some common sense stuff, and people don't like being embarrassed, so they won't ask questions. So today this is called basic home repair. You know, we said it this way: by 18, it would be ideal if you were able to do these things by the time you leave home. So here we go. Number one, you need to know how to replace the batteries and everything you use. Is that a 9-volt battery? Is that a D battery? Is that a C battery? Do you know the difference? You know, have you ever looked at whatever thing you use? Most kids are real proficient today. So can you change the batteries in anything? You know, we used to keep those D batteries, or those big square batteries for those big floodlights you keep around the house. Well, those did not last long. I mean, you can buy that $5 battery. It looks like a cell block. But, you know, 30 days from now, that battery's probably going to be dead. So storm comes, lights go out, and you look at that big old flashlight, you push that button, and nothing comes on, because you don't keep spare big old batteries like that around the house. So we had to learn how to do things different. Number two, know the function of a fuse box. I grew up in the country, so power went out, or you'd overload a circuit, that thing would kick a breaker, and you had to know how to turn it back on. Thing is, if a breaker keeps kicking, there's a reason. I remember one time my second house I built. You know, I built two houses, and second one I built, I wanted to put floodlights in my big family room. So I went and bought 8 floodlights, and I knew how to do that. My dad was an electrician. I'd helped him when I was in high school. So I wired it up, got it all hooked up, and I remember I turned them on, and man, it was awesome. It gave a great ambiance for the room. Just looked awesome. I went to turn the lights off that night before I went up to bed, and I reached over to touch the switch to kick them off, and that light switch was hotter than a firecracker. I thought, man, that's not good. Why is that thing so hot? And, of course, you know, being the old electrician's assistant, I got to thinking, I got that thing overloaded. And so, sure enough, the next day, I forgot about it, you know, came home, got them on again that evening. But all of a sudden, they kicked off. I thought, uh-oh, I've kicked a breaker. So I had a 20-amp breaker, and I realized, nope, I've got too much electricity on this. So I had to go back and change all 8 light bulbs. I had to get the new LED bulbs that don't draw as much power, and I didn't have to kick the bulb again. But I knew enough to ask the right questions. Number three, not to tell your children when they're overloading a circuit. It's just what we did right now without waiting for the breaker to kick. Number four, be able to safely replace every light bulb or burn that bulb in the overhead fixture. And I've had it before where all of a sudden on a front porch, man, we'd have big old bugs get around, and birds would fly up on that big old lamp we had on that porch, and they broke a bulb. And so you got a bulb that's broke. You can't reach up in there real easy and get it out. The first thing you better do before you reach up in there, you better go turn the power off. You don't stick your fingers in there trying to get out a light bulb that the glass is broke, trying to unscrew that thing with a pair of pliers or something, because you're going to light yourself up like the 4th of July. So know about how to replace broken light bulbs, how to turn the power off. Next, this is a big one. Be able to fix a leaky faucet. You got water dripping in your sink or somewhere else. You need to know how to shut that water off. And so we used to, when I built those two houses, I realized something. I used to, I bought one. My dad had given me one actually for Christmas. The big old thing where you turn the water off down at the road, you know, where the big pump is and where the water meter is. And so usually that's all muddy and nasty and dirty, and it's always dark and snaky looking down in there. And so I bought one of those big, like wrought iron things that you can stick down in your water thing and turn it on or off real easy. Because, man, if you're trying to do that pair of pliers down in it, that's hard. So I got a thing you didn't have to do that. So I bought all my kids one for Christmas. What is this? If you ever have to turn your water off, don't stick your hand down in a dark hole. Stick this thing down there and do it that way. So know how to change, you know, leaky spouts or faucets, and, you know, those washers will wear out, and know how to replace those things. It's pretty soon my kids would watch us do that. Next, be able to retrieve an item that's fallen into a sink drain. You know, we've all dropped something down the sink. What happened? Oh, man, my ring fell down the sink. Oh, I dropped something down the sink. You got to know how to get it out, and you have to do it sometimes from underneath. Know how to unclog a sink, you know, via the drain trap, or be able to use a plunger successfully. And so, again, all six of my kids, I bought those plungers, you know, the thing you clean out. Well, it's not, the water won't drain. Well, you got it stopped up. So we're going to have a drain cleaner, and this is how you use it, and this is what you use it with. You may not have to use it for 10 years, but when you need it, there is no other option. You need it. I like this. Be able to fiddle with a commode tank mechanism. Make sure the water won't stop running. We've all done it. You flush your toilet, and you go by the bathroom, you know, 3 hours later, the water's still running. What's going on? Well, man, your water bill's going to go up. You got to learn how to, what happens? So usually about every 2 years, we would change all the stuff within the tank, you know, the bathroom. Well, it's going to wear out. I don't care how good it is, how much they say it is. It's going to stop not working after a while. So know how to replace those things. You can do those real easy. And that's why I made sure all the houses we built, the water turnoff was under every toilet, water turnoffs under every sink, the kitchen sink. If there's water somewhere, where do I turn this off at? You know, I had to stop going down to the road with a big metal bar and do that. Know the location of the main water valve in your home and how to turn it off if necessary. And again, that's just what I taught all my kids. Hey, guys, the water comes from down at the road. They paid to bring it to the road. I had to pay to dig a ditch and run that water up to my house. And so both houses, you know, I said, well, how do you get water up here? Well, that's your responsibility. They'll bring it to my property. They don't bring it to my house. And so I had to learn how to do that. And I learned a lot of valuable stuff on that one. Know about hard water and soft water. And I live in different parts of the country. And, no, hard water is not good. You got to have water softeners sometimes, buy that. And if you check your well water, I tell everybody, take a sample of water, go down to the local utility place and have them test. Is this hard water? Is this soft water? Because, you know, it's, you ever just try to bathe or wash something, you get in the shower and you washed off, but you're still soapy. What is that? Hard water, it won't get the soap off of you. And so you got to learn how to do that. And then there's the certain things about you get the acid water and you have to test that. So, know the location of hot water heater and how it works. You got gas or do you have electricity? And so a hot water heater, it's incredibly blessing to have a hot water heater. Number one, we had a big family. And so I always made sure we have a large hot water heater. Have you ever been in the shower or try to run water in the tub and all of a sudden you run out of hot water? Why? Well, you're probably number three or number four to take a shower that night and you don't have a big enough hot water heater. And so depending on the size of your family, and when I was single, I just needed a little hot water heater. But when I got married, I needed a bigger hot water heater. And we had six kids. I needed a huge hot water heater. So I know how to make that thing work. Know how and why your pipes can freeze up or burst in the cold weather. And so I've always lived in a part of the country that, you know, you'd have those below freezing times. And I always tried to make my house insulated and not have good insulation. But, man, where's the water pipes at? Because under the house, both my homes sit up off the ground, and that means air can get underneath. So I had to make sure that all my pipes were insulated under the house, the going to, the going and from, and I had to make sure that nothing would freeze. And so I kept, for example, under my house, I had three different places where I had light bulbs under the house. And so in the wintertime, I could flip on one of my breakers, and it would kick the lights on under the house. Now, what that would do, it would keep it just warm enough that it would not get below freezing. So I didn't have to worry about that. And so I had to be very careful. Because, man, if you ever have a pipe bust, then all of a sudden, you know, the temperature is above freezing. Water will go everywhere. And, man, I've had that happen. You do not want that to have happen under that house and flood everything. Next, know how to change and clean the filters in a furnace or an air conditioning unit. And most people don't have a clue about this, but every every air conditioner, every furnace uses a filter, and you really ought to change them out every 30 days. And I would buy the ones that you could wash, because I had a big old porch in my house. So I'd take the filter out once a month, and I'd put a little thing in my daytimer to remind me, oh, this is the week I got to clean the filters. Otherwise, that filter will stop up, and I've had the ones that are disposable filters where all of a sudden they get so clogged up, air won't even flow. Man, all of a sudden, man, your heat bill goes up, your air conditioning bill goes up. What's wrong? Your filter stopped up, the air won't flow. And so you got to change that thing out. Plus, it's dangerous. So know about insulating your home and apartment in order to reduce the heating and cooling costs. The last house I built, I put in all my exterior walls were 2x6s, not 2x4s, because I wanted in all my exterior walls, because I live in a part of the country where we get below freezing. We get almost to 100 every year, extreme heat, extreme cold. So I want to be able to sure I could just make everything, you know, keep the heat in and keep the cold out. And so I did several things, made sure I did big insulation. So insulation's cheap. You know, to go from 3-inch to 6-inch is nothing. So all my extra walls and my last house I built had 6-inch insulation. And so, man, it stayed nice and warm in the wintertime, stayed nice and cool in the summer. People said, man, how's your house do that? It's well insulated. You got to learn how to insulate. Plus, you got to keep the doors all the way around your doors. Don't let a door frame wear out. And, you know, make sure you do the caulking all around the doors and the windows real good. And, man, it makes a huge difference. Otherwise, you're going to be giving your electric company big Christmas presents every month. You don't want to do that. Know about the smoke detectors in your home and how they work. Most home smoke detectors, the battery's dead. It just is. You don't think about it. I mean, it'll beep when it starts to get low. All of a sudden, what's that beeping sound? What is that beeping sound? Because it's not real loud. Well, the battery in your smoke detector is about to wear out. And it'll warn you before it wears out. Beep. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to say, beep. Like, well, who's doing the beeping? Smoke detector. You need to change that 9-volt battery. So when I buy 9-volt batteries, I usually buy them where there's like 12 in a big old pack. And I keep in the utility room, because when they go out, you don't have a spare, especially you got kids with radios or whatever. They're using every battery in the house. So at a special place, I kept the 9-volt batteries just for the smoke detectors. And I knew how to replace them on a regular basis. Be able to open a window that's stuck and how to lubricate one that doesn't slide well. If you've ever been in an older house, my last home when I sold it, I'd owned for 36 years. Love that house. Very good windows. I bought them special, how they open and how they close. But I don't care how expensive and good they are. The weather, the heat, the cold, eventually a window is going to get stuck. It's not going to raise. It doesn't want to lower. It doesn't want to open. So I always kept cans of WD-40. And so usually every spring before summer got hot, I go around and every window, I'd make sure I could raise and lower it real easy. So know how to keep those things greased, make sure it works really good. Know how to tighten a loose doorknob before it falls off. Now, I'm telling you guys, having 6 kids, every doorknob gets used a lot. And so I remember I've gone in before into a room or a bathroom, grabbed that doorknob, and I noticed it was loose in my hand. Well, if you don't get a screwdriver right then and tighten that back up, it's going to fall off. And you're going to lose the little screws that were holding it on there. And they probably don't make that doorknob anymore. And you're not going to just try to find screws. You got to buy a whole new doorknob and change that thing out. So keep a little the Phillips and the flathead screwdrivers, keep them in the house somewhere where everybody can reach them. I said, guys, if the doorknob's loose, grab this little screwdriver and tighten it back up. It's going to last a whole lot better. So that works really good. Know how the weather's going to affect movement of your doors and windows. Again, we live in a part of the country where we get extreme heat and extreme cold, and it's going to mess with you. And so things are going to change, and the ground's going to shift. And often that door that's been opening and shutting really easy, it doesn't want to open anymore. Why? Ground shifted, man. It's starting to swell up. Know how to lubricate everything in your house. Again, I kept WD-40 everywhere. Door hinges, chairs, dresser, drawers won't open now. What is it? Well, it's wearing out. Things are starting to change. So you know how to lubricate them. Be able to open a stuck drawer and reinsert a drawer that you pulled out too far. We've all done that. Get in a hurry, pull a drawer out, hit the floor. You try to get it back in. We've had some furniture that our parents gave us, their parents gave them. I mean, we had some great kind of antique furniture. We didn't think of it as antique. We just thought, that's a great dresser. And all of a sudden, the drawer doesn't work anymore. What is it? Well, it's kind of gotten old. It's warped a little bit, or it's gotten really moist. It's a rainy time of the year. Often the wood's swollen up, and it doesn't slide. Well, it's real easy to get that. Again, get the WD-40 or get this. They've got lubricant you can buy in any hardware store. Lube those drawers back up so they open and shut real easy, and it'll make a huge difference. Watch a few television programs restored to restoring homes and repairing problems. And I love NPR television. I love where they have this old house and how people fix this thing. How do we make it work better? How do we replace a window? How do we replace a door? How do we replace the toilet? Toilet's ancient as Methuselah. We need a new toilet that sits higher, because the old toilets, you had to almost squat down on your ankles to sit on the thing. They've got them that'll sit higher now. It's really comfortable to sit on. And so we've all had to replace stuff. So know how that stuff works and how to restore things. So watch a program every now and then about home restoration. You'll learn a lot. Know what a septic tank does and what a sump pump does. Now, in most neighborhoods, you don't have a septic tank. You got city sewer. And so somebody that built your house ran this pipe out of your house, your drain pipe, down to the road. It's tied into city sewer. You'll never worry about that. But believe it or not, there's more people living in the country in America than there are living in cities. Well, most all of them have a septic tank. Do you know what that does or how it works? I remember one time I was so frustrated. Had a septic tank all my life, and I knew how to keep it clean, how to put the stuff in there about twice a year and make sure it's flowing good. Field lines, how many field lines you needed depending on how big a house you had. And so I've gone through all that stuff. But I remember one year, septic tank wasn't working. I thought, what is it? So I called a guy out, and I said, okay, can you fix this? It's not working. Toilets won't flush. Things aren't sink stopped up. Sure. So I wrote him a pretty good check, and he left, and sure enough, it didn't work for a little while. But about 3 months later, it stopped up again. I thought, doggone it. So I tried to call another guy, and he came out. And I wrote him a check, and it worked again for about 2 or 3 days. And I realized, man, we got a problem. So I remember I just walked out with a big thing of oil. I said, kids, come on, we're going to anoint the septic tank. We walked out where that septic tank was in the yard because that's where the grass grows the greenest. I poured that oil over that thing. Man, I commanded that thing to work. I'm talking to it. And all of a sudden, we called another guy, and he came out. Well, he went at my septic tank. He went down there 10 minutes. He came out and said, I fixed it. Well, you couldn't have. What'd you do? Your field line was stopped up. It wasn't the septic tank. Septic tank's working fine. The drain coming out of it to the field line was stopped up. I unstopped it. It'll be working great. We never had another problem with it. Sometimes you just got to call professionals and find out what to do. This is a big one. Know about termites and what they're going to do and what the signs of infestation are. Now, I live in a part of the country where we've got our share of termites, and you'll see them in the spring. All of a sudden, you walk by a tree, and all of a sudden, man, what are those little flies? Those aren't flies. Those are termites. And they're hatching out, and they're eating into the side of that tree. And we've lost many a tree where termites just got in and had a field day feast. So know what to look for. Make sure you got a good now we had an exterminator that actually lived next door to us out in the country. So, man, I used him. I'd try to pay him once a year, come in. Hey, de-termite this place. We don't want termites eating into my nice house. Be aware of time constraints, safety regulations when you try to do home repair, and I've done it. I'm talking to myself today. We think, well, I can fix that. Well, I can fix that. And then you get halfway into it, and you still got a real job, and you're working overtime, you got kids, and you realize, I didn't get it fixed. Well, now it's dark, or it's late, or it's wintertime, or it's storming, and I got a thing, how am I going to fix this? There's times you need to weigh the cost, and there's times you just probably need to hire somebody professional to fix something that needs to be fixed. Then be sure the importance of your household security locks and stuff. I've traveled my whole life, and so I want to make sure my home was secure. When my wife, because I've traveled every weekend for as long as I can remember, in the electrical field as a minister, and so I want my wife to feel secure when she goes to bed at night. So I made sure all the doors had big deadbolt locks. I did the big safety thing where you put that rebar in and you shove it down the floor. There's nobody going to kick my house at nighttime. You're going to have to find you just might as well take a chainsaw and cut through the side of the house because you're not going to get any of the doors open. But I wanted my wife to feel safe, so I did something else. I live out in the country, out in the middle of nowhere at the end of almost 2 miles of dirt road. So I put dual floodlights on all four corners of my house. And my house is a big old two-story barn house. And I had it wired to a light switch right next to my wife's side of the bed. So at night, if my wife's in bed and the dogs are barking or there's some kind of noise she doesn't understand, she can just reach over and hit that light switch, and all four corners of that house will light up. Eight floodlights are going to come on. Boom. My neighbor one time said that my house looks like NASA at nighttime. What is that? Well, that's a safety switch, so my wife doesn't have to worry that if there's any kind of noise going on out there. And people love the dark. They don't like the light. People don't like the light. And so, man, I'll light the side of that mountain up. And so I wanted her to feel secure, so make sure the deadbolts work. You locked your doors. You know, I've had dogs my whole life. I don't care what kind of dog it is. I just want to be noisy. So I want you to bark. Where the UPS guy, the FedEx guy comes up, roof, roof, roof. I want him to bark because I want my wife to know if somebody's out there. Because all my homes are well insulated. In my bedroom upstairs, I think a bomb could go off outside and you wouldn't hear it. I mean, it's quiet. The exterior walls have 6-inch insulation. The interior walls got 6-inch insulation. I had solid corridors. You can't hear anything. Boy, it really helps to sleep good at night. It's really good. So these are just a few common sense things. If you don't have the list, you can go to our website and download some stuff or just buy you a book. Just some common sense things for your home, your house. Keep everything working. Because you know what it is? You got a job. You're trying to pay bills, get kids out of the house, get them through college, pay for a wedding. And you don't really sometimes have time. And so I grew up in the country. You had time for everything because you didn't do anywhere. You went home every evening. Well, that's changed a lot. So make sure you got plenty of stuff and you know what to do and you know who to call. God bless, guys. Hope you learned a lot today. It's a great gate. God bless. Talk to you later. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.